Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Semi-Pro Poker Show. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about things you can do away from the table to keep your game sharp. And this goes within, you know, studying poker to things that some might not even relate to poker that can help keep your mental game sharp, along with just enhancing your life. Along with some plan updates, some pretty big changes that I have that I'm very looking forward to discussing with you. I've only got a little bit of time to record here. I'm going to be playing tonight, and tomorrow I'm going to upload an episode reviewing my play tonight. So you're getting a little bit of a doubleheader. You got this episode today, and then it's going to be all specific hands that I play tonight that I'm going to go over tomorrow morning. So I can't wait to go over that. My name is Curtis Umstead. As always, I am your host. Welcome back. Been on a brief hiatus, as always. I've been very busy trying to adjust to a totally new schedule. Got a lot going on. Nothing bad, but a lot going on in terms of personal life stuff. School has started, along with working full-time, along with playing full-time. Playing a few times a week. Along with everything going on in my personal life that I have to balance out. So, lots going on. So, just trying to get acclimated. And I knew as soon as I could get my schedule down to something more consistent, I would get the show fitted into that time frame. And I think I've got a good handle on something that I want to do once a week. So, definitely look forward to some more episodes. I know I say that every time, but I think I was a little overzealous with what I thought I had a handle on back last month, and I've got some good ideas for now that the plan that I have is much more realistic now. So definitely look forward to that. So as I mentioned, today we're going to be going over some few things. First, I'm going to start off with some big plan changes. So let's go back to that first episode that we posted on this show where I talked about my plan on becoming a professional or semi-professional or whatever happens. And that's obviously still a plan. Otherwise, why would this show exist? You know, if that wasn't the goal, why would I be hosting a poker podcast? Why would it be called the Semi-Pro Poker Show? So that's still a goal. Originally, I couldn't decide what I wanted to go back to school for. But after a lot of research, I kind of thought about things that I was good at. I went back to basics, almost like a pro-con. And what I found out that I'm good at in terms of my work is I'm very good at, one, interpersonal communication. I'm very good with interacting with people. You'll find that for a millennial, and I am on my phone quite a bit, for sure, I'm very good at conversing with pretty much anyone about anything. So you'll see me at poker games, if you ever play with me, talking it up. I mean, I try not to talk too much. I don't want to be that annoying person, but I do like to have relationships. I mean, a lot of these people, especially if you're playing in a home game where you're not near a casino or you don't go to a casino that often, you're going to be playing with a lot of the same people. So I think it's important to develop good relationships. You want people to enjoy playing with you. Okay, I think I touched on this already in a podcast I did a couple months ago, but I think that's all. Not only is it important to get you invited back, obviously, but I think it makes it more fun. People will enjoy playing with you more. It makes it more fun for them and yourself. I feel like you'll enjoy playing more with people you consider friends compared to people you don't. I think it's really just that simple. So that's what I've been really ratcheting up these last couple months. But anyway, that's the reason I bring that up is because that's what I'm really good at my job, at my normal job. For those of you who don't know, I work at Planet Fitness. And no, it's not the best job in the world. It's below entry level. But I got to pay the bill somehow in my transition from sports management to what I'm about to go into. But you'll find that a lot of the members who come in all the time, I know them by name. I like to help people feel welcome, like they're a part of something. It's a part of what I do as a worker. And there's just something about interpersonal relations, interaction, and just relationship building that I just love. And unfortunately, I think is It's not necessarily going away. I think people overreact when they talk about people being on their phones and not maybe like the and not talking as much. Like, for example, I think what a lot of people, what you'll hear to all the time is, oh, people like to text now as opposed to talking on the phone. That's true that that is a that has become a more common way of interacting. I'm definitely a person who actually prefers to talk on the phone as opposed to text, but I don't dislike texting. I think that's just the way people interact with each other now, as opposed to, I think some people incorrectly define that as people not interacting, and that's not true. I just think it's just our definitions of interaction is changing as technology grows. But I think interpersonal reaction is definitely still important. I think it's becoming something like verbal interaction, if you're good at striking up conversation with anybody and making them feel comfortable. I think that's what separates you these days. I think that's something you can almost use, I think slowly becoming is what separates you from other people, and maybe in terms of employment. And when I interviewed, that's what one of my higher-ups said he liked about me, is my ability to strike up conversation, talk about anything, my knowledge on a wide variety of topics. So being in an environment that has interaction, verbal tech, whatever, as long as I'm constantly interacting with people and developing relationships and performing a service that's needed, that's where I'm going to fit in. And that's another thing. Ironically, with sports management, when I first got into it, I wanted to get into collegiate athletics. And as time moved along, and I think I touched on this on a previous episode as well, that I found just how unethical a lot of sports higher-up sports organizations are. And not necessarily all are just these dastardly bastards who are trying to be evil and just gain as much profit as possible. But at the same time, people are willing to go to many lengths to get ahead of the game in case someone in different someone else. And that's just not how I interact. How some people have to do that job. I mean, we are in a capitalistic economy, and being a part of that sales environment is more what I'm referring to. You know, being able to do whatever it takes to, you know, make a purchase or get someone to make a purchase or buy whatever it is you're selling, whatever product it is that you are marketing. I get that, and that's just not for me. And I think the sports management field is filled with that. You know, there is some management where maybe that's not as heavily as involved, but in most positions that I looked at, whether it's marketing, whether it's sales, really the only field that may be distant from that is like facility management, but even then that's an arm of marketing, and it's just not for me. And I discovered that too late. My senior year is when it really hit me, and at that point I was so far into my collegiate career that I just went with it and thought maybe I was going through some funky little phase, but I wasn't. It was a sign that this was not where I was supposed to be. So I did a lot of research, and so I found, so developing relationships, not being in sales, so not being in sales or anything like that led me to discover that I'd like to be in a position where I'm performing a service that is needed to be done, that is required, but not necessarily just for profit, you know, something that where I'm helping somebody. And it's so ironic that I never considered the healthcare field. It's because the job demand for so many different positions is there. It's rampant. So I started looking into different programs, and there's a community college here called Tidewater Community College that offers a few different programs and things like radiography, which is x-ray techs who, you know, give x-rays essentially, find, you know, do all, taking pictures and, you know, using radiation, all that sort of stuff, and diagnostic medical sonographers who do ultrasounds. They're called ultrasound techs, you know. Is it a boy or a girl? Things like that. And there's medical information techs. Anyway, these are the things that I started looking into. And radiography is really what caught my eye. Unfortunately, the program here, you need to have a lot of stuff already done. And I have some prerequisites done, but not all of them. And you pretty much need to have all of them done, including the ones that aren't required, to really have a shot at getting in. So I looked more into the field, and there was a specific area that I found fascinating. And it had pretty much all the qualities that I talked about. It's called radiation therapy. There's a reason I'm bringing this up, I promise you guys. And we'll bring it back to semi-pro eventually. Radiation therapy, for those of you who don't know, those are the people who really work on cancer treatments, who work with radiologists, radiation oncologists, in cancer treatments, positioning patients in a specific area to target cancerous cells using radiation. And it's amazing stuff, what they have, what they do. And you'll see people on a day-to-day basis. You may see some people who are getting all longer treatments. You may know them for months. And so developing relationships with lots of different patients just sounds fascinating to me. And I'm sure there are obviously very devastating parts of that job when it's unsuccessful. I mean, I'm sure we all have known people who have either had cancer, had repeated battles with cancer, and people we've lost to cancer. I know I have. It's devastating. And I'm sure if I got into a field like that, I'm sure there were people who I would work with who wouldn't make it. It's just the reality. Until the cure for cancer is found, if that day ever comes, this is what they have. Chemotherapy and radiation therapy and things like that. So, but just looking into it more, I just found it fascinating. And it's very well paying. There are jobs. The job field grow. The market for this specific position is expected to grow faster than the average job. So there's demand for it. I'm like, oh, that's great. Fortunately, there's not a program here. So what I'm doing for now is I am getting a certificate in phlebotomy, drawing blood. The reason I want to do this is because I want to get experience in healthcare. Along with getting my prerequisites done for radiation therapy programs whenever me and my fiance decide to move. Wherever we end up, there's lots of different radiation therapy programs. There's one that's about an hour and a half from here. That commute seems a little crazy right now. So this will be down the line, but I want to get experience in healthcare developing those relationships. The reason I bring that up is because also phlebotomy pays decent. Definitely compared to what I am making at Planet Fitness. I'm sure you all can take a reasonable guess to how much I'm making at a job like that and wonder how the hell you can even remotely save money or build any sort of bankroll. So now I'm bringing it back to poker. Whenever that day comes and we move to an area, and there's a few areas we've looked at that where poker is available, while I'm in school, that'll be my chance to play full time. That'll be when that move happens. That's the goal from the beginning of the show, where not only will I be in school, but poker will be my job. And I'm going to build a bankroll not only by playing now, but whenever I get my first job as a phlebotomist, I'll use that money to save and build a role as well. And just knowing me and how much of a cheap bastard I am, I know I will have no problem with this. Now, of course, life always throws unexpected costs at you, and you have to be prepared for that. But just knowing my expenses in a reasonable estimate, not being too conservative, I know over the course of a year and a half, I will have no problem with this. I will likely have no problem with this. You know, I already make income now. I already make income playing poker. So just increasing my main source of income, I just foresee in my ability to then play in larger games more often than... It just seems like a reasonable path to go. So that's the plan right now. And I've been having to change a lot of different things based on transfer courses and taking some online, things like that. So that's really been where my focus has been for the last month and a half, trying to figure out a concrete plan. And I have been playing a couple times a week in the meantime. I'll go over some hands tomorrow. But not only from what I played tonight, the majority will be from what I do play tonight, but also tomorrow when I, or some other previous hands that I've already played that I have in my notes that I've been wanting to go over. There was a really interesting hand I played yesterday, actually. I mean, like, fascinatingly interesting. Like, I've never seen it before in my life, so I can't wait to go over that. Now I want to step back into the poker portion of the show, but just wanted to at least give you guys an update on what's going on in my life. Like I said from the beginning, I was going to be very transparent and let you know what was going on, and it's refreshing to have a concrete plan figured out, a realistic plan, tangible plan that I can visualize being successful. It's a huge relief. So, and I can't tell you guys, I mean, through 25 and a half years of my life so far, I've been going through a lot of different moments where I don't know what the fuck I want to do besides poker. And when I found this program, you know, the radiation therapy, I never felt more sure about any sort of scholastic career choice ever in my life. Even when I chose sports management initially, I still had some ifs about it, even at the beginning. This, I had zero doubt. As soon as I found it and read descriptions and watched a lot, maybe a couple hours worth of YouTube videos from specific radiation therapists who've been doing the job, I mean, I found it fascinating. And the actual day-to-day activities fascinating. And I never had that moment before. And I've heard it from other people when they've found, like, what they want to do. Like, what it was like, that just euphoric sense of feeling. And that's what I had, finally. And it was amazing. So, that's the plan. So, poker's going to help me get there. And poker's going to be a huge part. And obviously, when I'm in school, and if poker's going really well, then shit. Maybe I don't even do that. But I have a feeling that this, doing a bit of both, semi-pro and that, will just be the ultimate fulfilling, you know, choice in my life. I just think getting that done would be the best of both worlds. And I can't wait. So, a few years down the line, but we'll get there. And this show will still be there. I know it will be. And hopefully you will still be there as well. All right, so I have a few things written down here, things you can do away from the poker table in regards to getting better, keeping your mental game sharp. The first thing I want to go over is fitness. And I'm actually going to touch on this in a future episode. There's a, I'll just say there's a person I work with who's very familiar with the fitness industry who I actually want to interview about things you can do and how it how fitness relates to poker in much more detail than I'm about to give. And he has said yes, and he absolutely wants to do it. We just have to find a time frame to do it. But when I can't wait to get that to you guys because, to be quite honest with you, a lot of people I know, and I know this goes for a lot of people listening to this audience right now, a lot of the poker players I know are lazy as fuck when it comes to physical activity. I mean, shit. We're in America. It's just the reality. But that's not me being critical. That's just a fact. And there are definitely benefits, not only to your life, but to your mental sharpness that physical fitness can give to you in your poker game. So I remember a couple of years ago, before I started my internship at this athletic facility, that I wasn't in the best shape. I've always been in decent shape, but I've never been in, like, monster Hulk Hogan, Hercules, Thor shape. I mean, I still haven't been in anything like that. But I've noticed a difference in terms of my mental stamina. When I'm more in shape, especially if I work out the day that I'm playing, my mind always seems to be in a much better place. I always seem to be able to focus more. I think I get distracted less. Well, obviously, if I focus more, obviously I'm going to get distracted less. I'm not as tired, because a lot of the games that I play are at night, And I've been running around for all day, you know, walking my dogs, going to work, doing all sorts of activities. So I understand, like, if it's 10 p.m., after I've been running around for 15 hours and I'm playing, that I could be tired, that anybody could be tired. That's normal. But to find that extra boost, being in shape gives you the ability to just have more stamina. It's period. Your ability to focus more. And if you're going to focus more in a game, you're going to put yourself in better spots overall, as long as you're playing well. I think if you're focused, I think that means that you're probably tilted less. Because I think you lose focus when you tilt. You start focusing on, or you start focusing on the wrong things. But if your mental game is sharp, I think you're much more likely to be playing better. So doing little things. Like, for example, I have a pacer app on my phone. So I walk my dogs twice a day, both my beagles. And probably for 3, sometimes even 4 miles total. Because I like to have them worn out before I go play. So they're just knocked out while I'm gone. Same thing if I have to go to work. I like them to be asleep for the majority of the time that I'm gone at work. Or if my fiance is out at sea, you know, in the Navy, things like that, and we're both gone for, you know, usually I'm the one that's here, but obviously if I'm going to be gone for a few hours, then I would like for them not to be just depressed, just waiting. So I do that, and that's a few hundred calories on that alone. So you'll see me walking, I'll see myself walking at least 10,000 steps in a day, which is definitely above average for the average human being, or at least in America. So even increasing, doing something little like that, you're already adding a lot to your physical fitness. But obviously going to a gym, you know, for a lot of people who live in apartment complexes, a lot of apartments come with their own facility. Mine does, and it's 24 hours a day, and it's a 400-foot walk from my building to the actual gym. And I work at a gym, so I have access to that as well. To be fair, now that I work at Planet Fitness, I mean, a membership costs $10 a month. The reason I bring that up is because they're not just Planet Fitness, but there are other gyms available that are for a very reasonable price, come with a lot of benefits. Come with classes, things like that. If working out by yourself is not your thing, or if you don't know what to do, there's classes you can do. I sound like a fucking salesman right now, and I just told you I hate sales, but I'm just saying it's a big, important thing in your life, just being active. It doesn't even have to be fitness. If you're just doing outdoors things a lot, you know, hiking, running, biking, golfing, playing a pickup game of basketball, doing whatever, as long as you're active, it can have an effect, and you'll be surprised. Other things, let's see here. I know some people smoke to, you know, give themselves a buzz, and some people do, you know, maybe it enhances it for them. Me, personally, I've only done this once in the last 4 years. I never drink when I'm playing. I'll still be interacting with people. A lot of the people that I play with will be drinking while playing. Me, I never will, because I always want my mental game to be sharp. So I've heard the argument from some people that, well, I drink so I can kind of loosen up. Like, I don't get drunk, but I kind of, like, it calms my nerves or things like that. I mean, if that's you, then cool, but I just don't function that way. I find myself at my peak performance when my mental game is just, it's not affected by anything like that. Now, if you think you're playing too tight, that's not necessarily something that a substance can fix for you. I think that's just a mental game hurdle. That's just a lack of knowledge on good play, if you think you are too much of a nit. And that's just you needing to have the ability to go beyond your comfort zone. And that comes with learning material. That comes with becoming a better player. Learning more about the game, doing more training site, reading any poker books, listening to a podcast like this one, The Semi-Pro Poker Show. Doing things like that, I think you will naturally become more comfortable the more you're exposed to it. If you rely on a substance to do that, I mean, if that works for you, as long as you're not getting hammered, as long as you're not getting so buzzed that you're playing below your A game, then hey, by all means, go right ahead. In terms of what works for me, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do anything like that. I just have a good time, I talk it up. But other people do, and that, again, I'm not being critical of that. Let me make myself perfectly clear. I'm just saying what works for me. So I'm just giving you options to try different things and see what works for you. But if you think that I'm too tight and I need to change my, what's the word I'm looking for? Like my consciousness to play better, I just personally don't function that way. And I think a lot of people who think that way probably are doing themselves a disservice. That's just my personal opinion. So take it what you will. Also, this is an obvious one, studying. Now, this is an interesting topic because there's a lot of material out on poker books. I mean, there's probably over 1,000 poker books now, where 15 years ago there were maybe less than 100, I'm willing to bet. I think the biggest book that was out before the poker boom was probably Doyle Brunson's first Super System book. It's widely considered a classic. I'd say that one and David Skolansky's Theory of Poker. I think both of those were well-known poker literature, for sure. But since the moneymaker boom, I mean, the poker material has just exploded. You've got writers now who, people who I really look up to are, Jonathan Little has written some great material. Ed Miller has written like 10, or contributed to more than 10 books specifically on live poker, much more geared towards live cash games and No Limit Hold'em. Dan Harrington's tournament books, I believe, are widely considered to be classics. And they just came, they're now over 10 years old, believe it or not. But his first three tournament books are absolutely incredible. And I always recommend those to anybody who's just starting out and they want a good foundation. Let me think of anybody else. There's a Mental Game of Poker book series that I know I posted on the Semi-Pro Poker Facebook page by Jared Tendler, the Mental Game of Poker 1 and 2. And those are incredible books. And absolutely recommend those to anyone. It's important to find what books are good, what books are also not outdated, but I use that term sparingly because I think people underestimate how beatable live low-stakes No Limit Hold'em still is. The games have definitely gotten tougher. People have the fish have definitely improved compared to where they were 10 years ago. I mean, there's no denying that. But people act like it's so much tougher that something like Professional No Limit Hold'em, which came out about 9 years ago, is now outdated, which I think is bullshit. I think absolutely a live 1-2 or 2-5 game, you could crush mastering a book like that. Anything from 2 plus 2, like, let me think here. That was one, Professional No Limit Volume 1. No Limit Hold'em Theory and Practice, which I think is an introduction to advanced theory, kind of like an introduction to GTO, just an introduction to more advanced poker concepts. I'll have to think of some more. I've got 30 books, and I'll actually post a picture of my entire poker collection. I've got quite a lot of them, and I have some that are back at my parents' house in Atlanta that I don't even have with me that I could definitely post. So I've got a wide variety. That's just books. I haven't even touched on forums like the 2 plus 2 poker forums, which I think is still very helpful as long as you can search through the trolley posts. Crush Live Poker from Bart Hansen is the absolute best source of material that I've ever had as a player. And I've talked with Bart personally a couple times. He's a great guy. Let me make a disclaimer. I'm not paid by Crush Live Poker. I pay them a subscription. But whenever anybody asks, what should I do besides a book, I always recommend that. And it's you do pay a price every month, but it's worth it. It's a secret. I hate telling people because people will get better when they know that, but it's absolutely worth it. If you absolutely should look into that if books are not your thing. And that pretty much covers it, along with talking with being around people who you can discuss poker with, who you find are knowledgeable or who you think are good and can get better from, things like that. So there's lots of different resources, and it's important to, when you study them, I think a lot of people read poker books cover to cover, put it down and say, well, that was great, I'm good to go. You have to approach, and I used to do that, guilty as charged, long time ago. Now what you have to do is you have to go through it as a textbook, treat it like a college course. Master a chapter at a time. Let's say you had a book that has 25 chapters in it, I don't know, 20 different concepts. Maybe each day, not only do you read one chapter, but you master it. You reread it and you reread it and you reread it, maybe over the course of a couple days. So you've mastered it, and then you move on to the next chapter. Quiz yourself. Use note cards. Highlighters. Use all sorts of things. There's so many different ways you can master it, because these concepts, you have to know them. Because if you just read it once, I mean, think back to when a lot of you were in college. Did you know a concept from reading a textbook once? No, you had to study it over and over and over again. And then once you tested yourself on it, you were able to see whether or not how well you knew a particular subject. It's the same thing. It's no different. In terms of it being relatable, it is exactly the same thing. I feel like poker would actually be a great college course, a series of college courses, like No Limit Hold'em 1, and then that was a prerequisite to like No Limit Hold'em 2. And then to get into PLO 1, you had to master both No Limit Hold'em and No Limit Hold'em 1, like 1 and 2. Like that, like poker could be a major in college. I really think it would, and there'd be enough material to make that actually viable. So, who knows? Maybe one day. But you have to treat it the same way. Okay. And lastly, I think being realistic, like keeping track of results, I think is obviously important, but being real with those results. I know plenty of people, and you don't have to out yourself if you're one of these people, and maybe you're not, hopefully you're not, but if you are one of those people who keeps track of their results, but they may not include maybe this one losing session. They may not include this one, or excuse me, losing session, or this other losing session, but they'll include these winning sessions and bloat their results to make themselves feel better. You got a problem. It's important to be real with yourself when evaluating your own game. That's why I like going over hands on this where I made a mistake, where I played incorrectly. I like that because it means that I'm keeping myself in check. Ego can be a massive problem in this game. It can be a terrible thing because it can have so many different negative effects. It can make you play a certain hand poorly. It can make you think that you've learned enough and you don't need to learn anymore, and it can stout your growth as a player. It can affect your win rate, combining both of those compared to what your win rate could be if you continued to learn. And I know this can be difficult because we all hit that wall, you know, when it comes to anything in life where you've done something for so long and you're like, ugh, I just can't do it anymore. We hit that in everything. It's just, that's where you test your true grit within yourself to see if you can push yourself beyond that mental boundary. It's only happened to me a couple times in my life, but when I've gotten past that wall, talk in terms of success, that's what really separates people, that gravitating feeling, it's unlike anything else. It's alongside anything you've ever experienced in your life, like your, you know, when you get married or when you accomplish something that you never thought you would, and it's just an amazing feeling. It's indescribable, and it keeps you going. And then you're hungry and you keep pushing. That's just what you have to do. So if you start learning and you get through a book, but you're like, I want to read today? And this is in everything in life. This is the same thing with fitness. Oh, I don't want to work out today. Oh, I don't want to do this. Fuck, I don't want to get up and do this. It's getting past that non-wanting feeling and pushing yourself and getting past that and pushing yourself beyond what you thought you were capable of. That's what I'd say it's like. There are also some other materials that I really like in terms of reading materials, actually. There's a book that I'm reading from ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. It's called Toughness. It's not even a poker book, but it talks about a lot of his stories growing up from when he was a kid to when he played at Duke to his brief time in the NBA, his coaching career, and as an analyst, all the things he's done that have made him a tougher person. He believes toughness is a skill that can be learned, that it's not just a talent, and that toughness itself is defined incorrectly. And I actually have not finished it yet. I'm almost there, but it's an absolutely amazing book, and it puts things into perspective about pushing yourself beyond your limits. When times get tough, how do you react? And I'll leave you with this. I was just watching The Lord of the Rings, which is my favorite movies of all time. Like, everyone has their favorite movie. My favorite movie is all three of that trilogy. It's all basically one movie, but one of the characters, Gandalf the Grey, says, all you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you. We only have a certain amount of time on this earth, and you have to decide, are you going to be great? Are you going to push yourself beyond what you think you're capable of and discover something new? And that's really the life change that I have undergone in the last year in terms of changing my career and doing things that I never thought I'd be in the healthcare industry. I thought of all the sciencey stuff, and I wasn't a huge fan of biology and chemistry. I hated chemistry. I still kind of do hate chemistry, I'm not going to lie, but I do find biology very interesting now. And you discover new things about yourself that you didn't know was there. And a lot of people don't utilize that. They may stick with themselves in a same career, never make the change into something that they've dreamed of doing. You only have one life, so if there's a passion that you think you can achieve, like poker in my case, or whatever it is in your case, why not do it? Decide to do something with the time you have left. Decide to do something big. Live big. I think the amount of, what's the word I'm looking for? That sense of fulfillment that you would get, I think, would be much more, you would get it much more often than if you stuck in the same old job, if you never expanded yourself past beyond what you think you're capable of. So the reason I bring that up is because having that mindset, I think, is important, always important, in pushing yourself beyond, never getting complacent, and it's never too late. You can be 50, 60 years old, and it's still not too late. You've got time to do something different, to do something that you really want to do. I just know before my time is up, I want to make sure that I experience what I'm truly capable of. And I didn't know that I wanted to do that for a long time. But, you know, a lot of experiences over the last year, going through that career crisis, just depression, career depression, really, of not finding good work, you know, put me in a dark place. And not that anything was in danger, but I had to change my mindset. It took me a long time because I am a stubborn person. But once I got there, I've discovered that. So now that's what I'm doing. So, and that's what I encourage to all of you. Whenever you're learning your game, whenever, if there's a new passion you discover, whatever it is, just fucking go for it. Just give your give all of yourself to it. And I think you'll be surprised with the results that you get. Well, that was an awfully motivating... That was like a rally speech. Rally the team. I have no notes in front of me, guys, other than just covering specific topics. That's all I have. That was all improvised. So hopefully it made sense and it wasn't too much of a ramble. But anyways, thank you guys for listening. I really do appreciate it. I can't stress that enough, what it means to me that people actually like or seem to remotely give a shit about what it is that I have to say. It means a lot. And it keeps me going and keeps me wanting to do this podcast and keeps me wanting to achieve that goal of becoming a professional poker player, which I still remain true is going to happen. That's going to do it for another episode of the Semi-Pro Poker Show. Again, my name is Curtis Umstead. I will see you all tomorrow to review hands that I play tonight. So can't wait to go over that. Good hands, bad hands, if it's a good session, bad session, whatever it is, you're going to get it all. And I can't wait to discuss it with you. Sorry for the no intro and outro music, because I'm using my old laptop, which uses a totally different recording program, and I'm having issues with their music. And by having issues, I mean there is no fucking music. So I'm having to figure out how to maybe post my own, like from a previous file or something like that, and implement or inputting it in. Or uploading it onto this specific track. So I'm working out the kinks with this new software. So give me some time with that. But anyways, I will see you all tomorrow. Have an awesome day. Have an awesome week. I will see you on the next episode. Bye-bye.